Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to see so many here this morning. Friday and Saturday night, some of us went out to Portage to the tent meeting, and we heard some excellent lessons, some exciting sermons regarding the freedom that we enjoy in Christ. The people of the world don't always realize what freedom they could have, because as the man says, we may think we're free, but until we are free spiritually, the bondage is greater than could ever be. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verses 1 through 14, the prophet tells of a vision that was given to him, and we want to look at that this morning and make application to our situation in the times that we're living. In Ezekiel 37, beginning with verse 1, he says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' And again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I'll put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he also said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Each Old Testament prophet was a very unique kind of individual, and the manner in which they were told to present their lessons by the Lord was different. Some were told to go and do various things before they would present their material, and others were given visions. They were seers, and Ezekiel was allowed to see this vision of the dry bones. And as we think about the idea of a prophet, in the original languages, a prophet was not always a seer. A prophet could be one who spoke for another, one who delivered a message for another. And Ezekiel saw this vision, but he would still have a message to deliver. In verse 1, he informs us that the hand of the Lord came upon him. In other words, God was very much involved in his life. And so he says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord." His mind was upon spiritual things. His heart was upon God. He was interested in knowing what God had to say to him. Well, it was more about what was going to happen than what was said at first. And then God would say some things to him. But he brought him out in the spirit of the Lord. And he says, "And he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of dry bones." He put Ezekiel in the middle of what he wanted him to be in. He put Ezekiel there so that he could visually see what was going on and understand why God was going to tell him what he would tell him. And in verse 2, Ezekiel says not only were the bones dry, they were very dry. They couldn't get any deader. They were dead and they were dried out dead. And in verse 3, he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" You run into a lot of rhetorical questions in the Bible. There were several in our lesson in the Bible class this morning in the book of Galatians. And usually a rhetorical question is asked in such a way that you already know the answer, but it's asked to make you think. And as God spoke to Ezekiel, he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel gave the Lord a good answer. He says, "Oh Lord, you know." In other words, it's up to you, God. It's up to you whether or not they could live. And so in verse 4, God begins to give Ezekiel his instructions. He says, "Prophesy to these bones." You know, there's another Old Testament prophet we hear a lot more about than Ezekiel, and that was Jonah. And he was told to go and preach or go and prophesy, deliver God's message to the city of Nineveh. And he didn't want to, so he turned and ran. Well, Ezekiel was happy and content, probably because it was his own people he was talking to. But I get the feeling that Ezekiel would have gone and given a message anywhere God sent him to give it. And God says, "Go and prophesy to these bones." Now, a prophet is one who delivers a message from another, and this is the message that God told Ezekiel to take to this valley full of dead and very dry bones. In verse 4, "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." That's the first message he would bring to them. And verse 5, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live." And in verse 6, "I will put sinews on you, and you shall live." Ezekiel, this is the message, and you're going to give it to these dry bones, and this is what you're going to tell them. And in verse 7, and if your Bible's open, look at that verse. Verse 7, Ezekiel's talking out loud, and he's telling us as he writes the book, he says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." There was no hesitation, and this is why I believe that Ezekiel would have gone anywhere and done what God told him to do. He wouldn't have run off like Jonah and had to be brought back. Ezekiel says, "I prophesied as I was commanded." Now, I'm sharing with you what went on with Ezekiel because there are parallels to what's going on with us today in the world that we're living in. And too often when it comes to the gospel of Christ, preachers don't preach the word as God has commanded. They invent their own message, or they take it from a creed book, or they listen to a board that tells them what they can preach or not preach. And God has commanded us to preach the word, to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You see, the message from God doesn't come from men. It doesn't come from human sources. It comes from God's word. And so as he told Ezekiel to go and prophesy, Ezekiel says, "I did as I was commanded." And it's up to preachers today to do as the Lord has commanded them to do. Now we'll take that down a little bit further. We don't all consider ourselves to be preachers, but if you're a Christian, I will tell you this morning, that every heart without Christ is a mission field, and every heart with Christ becomes a missionary. And so just as Ezekiel was commanded to go and preach to that valley of dry bones, each and every one of us have a responsibility. We have an obligation to go and share the good news of the gospel of Christ with that mission field that's out there all around us. We've had access to the little New Testaments, and I really like the design of those. Those little New Testaments have a teaching lesson built right in. Well, the Bible has a teaching lesson anyway, but someone has figured out how to direct people, go to this page, go to this page, go to this page. And as you travel through those, you can learn the will of God for your life regarding salvation. And those of us who are missionaries and this mission field all around us, who don't feel like that we are ready to be teaching verbally, we can teach by giving out printed literature. We can share the good news of the gospel of Christ by supplying something that someone can read. Or we can share the good news by inviting someone to come to the house of worship with us and to hear the gospel. Or if you run into that person that just won't go to a house of worship, they're not prepared to enter into the assembly where Christians are on the first day of the week. We live in an age of technology, and you can now refer them to the internet. And our congregation has a website there where people can go and find things to study and things to learn. And this summer we began posting our sermons up there. So every sermon since the middle of June, I think, is now out on the internet. And that's why I'm not answering phone calls or texting before I come up here. I'm getting my phone ready to record because I take it out and I set the recorder up on it, and then I pray that nobody will call into the phone and interrupt the recording, because to me this lesson is more important than the phone ringing. And the phone wouldn't ring. I have it on silent. But anyway, we have established a way where if you run into someone who does not want to come to the house of God for whatever reason, you can encourage them to go to the internet. And there you can share lessons with them, the same lessons that you hear on Sunday morning. Or you can show them printed material. Or you can show them where they can ask for and request that Bible courses be mailed into their home at no cost to them, not even the postage. Ezekiel was commanded to prophesy to the Valley of Dry Bones. And brothers and sisters, we are in a world that is full of dry bones. There are more people this morning who are out there still in bed, regardless of what their religious faith is. There are more people who are still in bed than there are at a house of worship, because they stayed up till the late hours, and whatever they did, we don't necessarily want to know. We would like to know that they would turn their hearts to the Lord. Too many people, though, live the way of the world. And as one preacher said, they live the way of the world, and they stay up late on Saturday night, and then on Sunday morning they get up and bow before the porcelain god. And we want to teach a world that's lost and in that kind of condition how that they can establish themselves for eternity. Because what we see and feel and touch is not permanent. The time will come when it will be drier than the Valley of Dry Bones. All of this will turn to dust, and we will pass from this life, and our bodies will turn to dust. But the part of us that is unseen, the soul that begins at conception and lives for eternity, will be there long after our bodies are gone. And we need to decide right now, do I want to live with God in eternity, or do I want to be lived separated from God for eternity? And that's a polite way of saying it. When we talk about separation from God for eternity, we are talking about spending eternity in hell with the devil and his angels. And to go a step further, spending eternity in hell with a crowd of people that never wanted to know God and never knew God. And when you think about all of the wicked who ever lived upon the earth, all of the serial killers, all of the dictators who killed women and children and people that stood against them or opposed what they stood for, people who took what they wanted by force and by might, do you really want to spend eternity with those kinds of people? No, we need to be preparing right now to live for an eternity with God. And I use the word spend, but when we spend something, when we spend money, it's all gone. You can't really spend eternity because eternity is unending. You see, when the preacher quits talking, it seems like an eternity, even if it's only a couple seconds. Well, eternity is unending. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on, and you can't check your watch, and you can't look at the wall clock and think, well, good, eternity will be over soon and I can get out of this place. No, we want to go where we don't want to get out of. We want to go to the heavenly city. We want to go to that mansion that's prepared for us because we serve the Lord. And so Ezekiel was given a message to go to the Valley of Dry Bones. And he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And in verse 8 he said, and the bones came together, but they didn't have any breath in them. The bones started walking around, but they weren't alive. You might say they were the walking dead. And so the Lord said to him, and now you need to speak to the breath. Speak to the winds. And verse 10, Ezekiel says it again. So I prophesied as he commanded. Ezekiel wasn't worried about what anybody else wanted. And Ezekiel wasn't worried about his own whims. He wanted to do what God said to do. So he said, I prophesied as he commanded. And when Ezekiel gave this prophecy to that valley of dry bones, they came up, the skin came on them, and then when they didn't breathe, he prophesied to the wind, and the breath of life came from God and came into them, and they came to life. There's a lot of application to this particular passage. In Psalm chapter 85 and verse 6, one of the psalm writers had said, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Well, we know the answer to that rhetorical question. God is always willing to revive us. God is always willing to bring new life into us. Paul and I didn't confer with each other, but I was happy when he led the one song, Revive Us Again. It goes right along with this. We're living in a time when Christian people need to be revived. We listen to the news and it becomes so depressing. We read the newspaper and it becomes so depressing. We live in a world that looks like it's waxing worse and worse and worse. And you know what? A better world begins with me. And when I turn my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I turn my will to His will, when I obey the gospel, when I begin to serve Him by doing the things that are commanded in the New Testament, then that makes the world a little bit better. And when I share that good news with somebody else, and they decide to obey the gospel, then it becomes even better. You see, the church was established about 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And there were 12 men who went out and began to preach. And on that particular day, more than 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel and were buried with Christ in baptism. And from that day forward, they went everywhere preaching and teaching other people. They carried their faith with them. They lived their faith. They shared their faith. They weren't afraid to talk about their faith. They didn't live in a world where it was easier to talk about whatever sporting event was going on or whatever political scene was going on, but never, ever, ever mention their faith. You see, that's the kind of world we're living in. Christians have become silent. We aren't mentioning our faith. We need to stand up for it. We need to speak it. And when we say to the Lord, will you not revive us again? Yes, He will revive us again. He will bring revival into your heart and into your soul if you will allow Him. You see, God doesn't force His way into our lives. He comes there when we invite Him. Dagon was answering an answer this morning, and it was to a different question, and that was okay. But he made a statement there about how people make choices, and when they choose to do the wrong thing, the bad thing, they separate themselves. Now, I'm paraphrasing. They separate themselves from God. But when they choose to do the right thing and obey God, they remove that separation. They go into the presence of God. There was a 19th century preacher, a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon, and his lessons were devoted to what's called expository preaching. He would take a text from the Word of God, and he didn't go out seeking other comments. He let the Bible comment on what the Bible said, and that's the way preaching ought to be today. But he listed some points regarding this passage, and I want to share those with you briefly. First, he says, we must feel deeply humbled and no longer be adrift in ourselves. When we go out to share the good news with others, we need to forget about ourselves. We need to be humbled. We need to realize that we are very small in the presence of God, and that if it were not for what Christ had done for me, I would be lost. I would be just as lost as anyone else out there. And so we need to be humbled by who we are and how great a thing God has done for us. The second thing he says, we must give ourselves to prayer before and after the work. You're going to work in the vineyard of the Lord, pray about it. And after you've worked in the vineyard of the Lord, pray about it. You know, I would say that about any of the things that we do in the Lord's work. When someone is ill and we put them on the prayer list and we pray that they'll go through their surgery well and that they'll recover well, don't forget to say thank you to God when it does go well. Pray about it before and pray about it after. And when you go to share the gospel with someone, pray about it before you go and pray about it after you go and pray for them on a regular and a daily basis that the Lord might touch their heart and help them to see the way of truth. Number three, he says, we need to be careful to be the kind of people that the Spirit of God can use. And that is a powerful and a strong statement. Ezekiel was the kind of man that God could use. When God said, do this, he says, I did as the Lord commanded. Well, we need to live the kind of lives so that God knows that we are useful. The Jewish people had a temple that was built during the time of Solomon. And one of the Old Testament prophets saw a vision in the latter days of the Old Testament. And the Shekinah glory dwelt in the most holy place in the temple. The glory of God dwelt in there. And only the high priest could go in there, and he could only do that once a year, enter into the presence of God. And even then, he couldn't see God. But if anyone went in there that wasn't supposed to, they would die. Well, the prophet saw this vision. The people of Israel were not pleasing to God. They were not keeping his ways. They were serving idols. They had turned their backs upon God's will. And the prophet said he saw in a vision, and the glory of God came up out of the temple, and it hovered over the temple. And then it rose up, and it hovered over the city of Jerusalem, and then it went away into heaven. When the Old Testament ends, Malachi ends on a very negative note, the idea that the people were without God. And for 400 years between the end of the book of Malachi and the beginning of the writing of the New Testament, the coming of Christ, for 400 years there was no prophecy in the land of Israel. There was no word from the Lord in those days. The books that are called the books of Apocrypha, the apocryphal books, and they're incorporated into the Bibles that the Roman Catholic Church uses, but those books are not the inspired Word of God. Even the writers of those books make the statement, there was no word from the Lord in those days. Why was there no word from the Lord? Because they had driven His glory out of their lives. They had driven His glory out of their temple. The Apostle Paul teaches us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we live the lives that God wants us to live, we keep our temples a suitable place for Him to dwell. But if we don't serve the Lord the way we ought to, if our temple becomes like the temple in Jerusalem was, the glory of God will leave us. And so we need to be careful to be the kind of people that the Spirit of God can use. Oh, how clean we should be in our private lives, as well as in our ordinary walk and in our conversation. We wouldn't want to be telling something that's untrue in front of a microphone that's on in a room full of a lot of people and a recording running, and we didn't happen to know the microphone was on. So we told something that was inappropriate to start with, and then we deny that it's true. Maybe it is or maybe it isn't. That's not the kind of people God wants us to be. God wants us to be people who are truthful with what we say, but He wants us to be people who are appropriate in character and that are clean in character and in conversation, and our lives are such that our ordinary walk and our ordinary conversation is acceptable in His sight. When we live that way, He can use us, and He can use us in a powerful way. The fourth application we want to make is that we need to be anxious to use the Word and to keep close to the truth. We need to put more of God's Word into our sermons in the pulpits. We need to put more of God's Word into our lives out there when we preach those sermons every day among the people who have never obeyed the gospel. A lot of people learn more from those sermons than they will from these because they never come into the church building to hear the lesson. And so they look at our lives as Christians, and they read the sermon that we live. The fifth application is that we should avoid anything that is not of the Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can raise these dry bones, Ezekiel said. And so only the Spirit of God can bring the world back to God. I can't go out here on the lawn and hold a carnival and a cookout and leave God's Word out of it and forget about it and think that I'm going to bring life to the world, to this valley of dry bones. I need to bring people back to the Word of God. You need to bring people back to the Word of God. And we start by doing that in our own lives. We need to make sure that we're reading God's Word on a daily basis. We need to make sure that we're meditating upon God's Word. We need to make sure that we are prayerful in God's Word. And we need to make sure that we are accepting of God's Word. If the Bible teaches it, we need to believe it, and that settles it. That's the end of it. The sixth application, we need to always be ready to obey the commands that are given to us by the Spirit of God through His Word. We need to be ready to do what God says to do. The seventh application, we need to value every movement of His power. If God's got us by the shoulders, shaking us here, trying to wake us up, we need to wake up. Dagan read Ephesians 5:14 this morning. And it said, therefore, He says, awake, you who are asleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. God's shaking us on the shoulder. He wants to breathe life into the valley of dry bones. He wants to cause light and life to come into the world. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Think about when you first believed. Think about when you first obeyed the gospel. Your salvation is nearer now than it was then. We are that much closer to the return of the Lord. We're that much closer to the end of time. We're that much closer to eternity. And the Lord nudges us to wake us out of sleep, to wake us up, and to help us to see the things that He wants us to see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, the Apostle Paul says, not only awake, but he says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Sounds like the world he lived in was very similar to the one we lived in, or the one that we live in, because he says that some don't have the knowledge of God, and he would speak that to their shame. And it's a shame if we don't know the will of God. It's a shame if we haven't added that knowledge to our lives, especially if we're Christians. I can understand the person who's never obeyed the gospel, and they're still searching, and they're still digging, and they're still trying to find the answers, and so they don't have the knowledge. But as Christians, we should make it our business to know what the Word of God teaches. The eighth application, we must realize the scene in which we are to labor. What did God do with Ezekiel? He set him down in a valley of dry bones. He put him where he wanted to be. Did you ever think that maybe where you are is where God wants you to be? And I'm not talking about if you're living a worldly life and doing something wrong. I'm talking about the opportunities that you have, the people that are around you. Maybe you're in high school, maybe you're in college, maybe you're in elementary school, maybe you're working somewhere in a business, maybe you are retired and you encounter people at a coffee shop somewhere. God has given you opportunities, and we need to see those as opportunities. We need to remember that if we're a Christian, we're the missionary, and those hearts without Christ are the mission field. And how are we going to take the Word of God to them and allow the breath of God to be breathed into them so that the valley of dry bones will come to life? We must speak in the power of faith. Ezekiel would not have preached to the dry bones if he didn't have faith. You think anybody's going to go stand and talk to a pile of bones without faith? He believed what God was telling him. He believed that it was going to happen, and he had the faith to go and preach to them. We must preach by faith. As we assemble here on the first day of the week, if there's 10 of us here, we must have faith that God's Word will not return to him void. If there's 20 of us here, we must have faith that God's Word will not return to him void. If there's 25 of us here, we need to have faith that God's Word will not return into him void. And we need to believe that if we plant and water, God will give an increase. If we continue to plant the Word of God, and we continue to water the Word of God, and we live our lives as Christians the way that Christians ought to live them, the prayer that the old-timers prayed about helping us to live in such a way that the Lord will look at our lives and want to put on the Lord in baptism, that may have been prayed by the old-timers, but it's not an old-time statement. It's an all-time statement, because we need to be living in such a way that the people around us want what we've got. We need to be happy to be Christians. We need to be excited to be Christians, and we want people to want salvation. We want people to want the Lord. We need to prophesy or give God's message according to God's command. Ezekiel says, I prophesied just as he commanded me. Jonah had been told, preach unto them the things that I bid thee. Jonah tried to get out of it, but God made sure he got there and did it anyway. And when we share the Word of God with others, we need to be like Ezekiel. We need to break out in a vehement desire. What exactly is a vehement desire? Ezekiel spoke out when God told him to call the wind. Immediately he said, "Come forth, you four winds, and bring the breath." He was anxious. He was excited to do what God wanted done. And the final application that we can see in this passage is that we must see only the divine purpose, the divine power, and the divine working. We're looking at the divine, God's divine purpose, God's divine power, and God's divine work. In verse 13, Ezekiel says, "Then you will know," speaking on giving God's message, he says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord." See, if it's all about me, I won't realize that he's the Lord. This isn't all about me. This isn't all about you. It's about God. And so we look for the divine purpose, where? In his word. We look for the divine power, where? In his word and the effect it has in lives. And we look at the divine working as it works forth in the lives of people and in the life of the church. And we need to realize it is not my plan. It is not my purpose. It is not my power. It is not my experience. It's God's plan. It's God's purpose. It's God's power. And I will have an experience in my life based on my obedience to his will. In Colossians 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 4, Paul knew that in the New Testament times, we would be speaking to valleys of dry bones. He knew that we had been in those valleys of dry bones. And in Colossians 3, verse 1, he says, "If then you were raised with Christ," raised from where? The dead. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. For you died, and your life was hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." When Christ, who is our life, appears, we'll appear with him in glory. Now, if we don't allow Christ to be our life, we can't expect that promise to be made and kept to us. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're standing in a valley of dry bones. It's very dry. You're a part of that valley of dry bones if you don't have the breath of God into your life and into your heart. You've heard the gospel this morning, and on the day of Pentecost, when they preached to those folks, and they preached to them, and faith was developed in Jesus, Peter went on to teach them that they needed to repent of their sins, they needed to confess Christ as Lord, and they needed to be buried with him in baptism. If you're a Christian and you've done those things, but you haven't lived up to your commitment, you need to make sure you don't fall back into that valley of dry bones and end up with no breath in you. If you're a Christian and you haven't kept your commitment, you need to repent and pray and recommit. And this morning, whatever your need is, we're here to assist you while together we stand and sing.